When I first started pastoring, a lady came to me for prayer. In this prayer session, we noticed that she was demon-possessed. As a result, I and one of my deacons cast several demons out of this lady. The strange thing about this encounter, the lady claimed to be a Christian. Can a Christian be demon-possessed? I'll be back in a moment, and we'll take a look in the book.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the exciting Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in beautiful Irving, Texas. The pastor is the dynamic Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages on demons and angels. Now get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. of Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving takes a look in the book. You are
the living. Open up the Word of God to the book of St. Mark. Mark chapter 1.
Amen. Amen.
St. Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse number 21. Through 34, but I will read to you verses 21 through 28. When you find it, say, I got it. All right, beginning with Mark chapter 1, verse 21, it says, and they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribe. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what things is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even an unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. This morning I want to continue our series on demons and angels, and I want to talk with you this morning on the subject, the blessings of going to church. The blessings of going to church. High five somebody. Tell them, Pastor, going to talk about the blessings of going to church. The blessings of going to church. The story is told about a man going to a Halloween party one Halloween wearing a devil costume. And on his way, it began to rain, and he ran up into a church that was having worship service. And when the people saw him in this devil costume, they thought it was really the devil. And so the people started running, trying to get away from this devil. And so there was an old lady, she tried to get away from the devil, but her dress got caught in one of the pews. And she said, wait a minute now, Mr. Devil, don't bother me. She said, because I want you to know that I've been a member in this church 25 years, but the last 5 years I've been on your side.
preacher.
Come on, Pastor.
Now, we know that the devil don't go around in a red costume with horns and a pitchfork.
All right.
But I do believe that we have underestimated the devil. We think that we got to come to church and leave church and get ready for the devil on the outside of the church. But the devil done ran up on the inside of the church and done got some folks on the inside of the church on his side. We are living in a day and age where many people are demon possessed. And when we look at our lesson today, we see a case in point of that, of how the devil done ran up on the inside of the church and done got a man on the inside of the church on his side. Look here at this text. The Bible says here in Mark 1, beginning with verse number 23, and there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Thou come to destroy us. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now see, the church today may have underestimated the devil, but Jesus Christ have not underestimated the devil. Because Mark shows us that when Jesus began his ministry, the first place that Jesus began his ministry was in the local church, there at the synagogue. And the first miracle that Jesus ever performed, according to the Gospel of Mark, was Jesus casting out devils out of a man right in church. Are y'all gonna go with me today? And notice now what the demons in this man said. They said, let us alone. So that let us know that even though one demon was speaking, there was more than one demon in this man. See, the ringleader always do the talking, but there are more than just one demon in this man. The man said, let us alone. What do we have to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? What a question. You know, the demon asked the first question. He said, what do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? In other words, what is we got in common, Jesus? Well, I can answer that for you. Yo, you ain't got nothing in common with Jesus. Because Jesus is holy and they are unholy. Jesus is clean, but they are unclean. And then they asked another question. They said, art thou come to destroy us? See, the demons know that they are living on borrowed time. They know that they got an appointment in hell. They know that they are destined to go to hell. And they, when they saw Jesus coming up, they said, are you coming now to send us to hell? That's basically what they were saying. And then notice, they moved from asking two questions and they made a statement. Look at this statement that they made. That says, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. See, the demons, they know who Jesus is. No if, and, but, doubt about it. Demons know who Jesus is. It's mankind that start acting crazy and kooky. Even church folks today are trying to debate on who Jesus is. Wondering, is Jesus a good man? Or is Jesus just a prophet? Or is Jesus a miracle worker? No. Ask the demons. The demons will let you know that Jesus is God. He's the Holy One of God. He's God in the flesh. That's who he is. Now, the shocking thing about this story to me is this man has got a demon or some demons in him right there in church. Notice now, this man wasn't bothering nobody. I believe he was probably sitting back there in the back of the church. Not disturbing, causing any kind of disturbance or anything. A man probably been coming to church for years with them demons in him. But all of a sudden, when Jesus walked in there and Jesus started preaching the word of God, he started preaching with the power and the authority. Oh, it started making them demons all nervous. See, it's the word of God that transforms lives that make demons nervous. See, you can go and preach a prosperity theology. Ain't no make no demon nervous. You can go and preach a name it and claim it kind of theology. Grab it and blab it theology. It ain't no make no demon nervous. But when you start coming with the authority and the power of the word of God, it start making the demons nervous. See, it's something about gospel preaching. True gospel preaching disturbs an evil mind. True gospel preaching disturbs an impure heart. True gospel preaching disturbs devilment on a person's mind. If you got some devilment on your mind, then gospel preaching is going to disturb you. This man got all disturbed, all because Jesus started preaching the word of God and them demons started moving in that man, made him uncomfortable in the church. You know why a lot of sinners can be comfortable in the church? It's because we ain't preaching the word of God. You preach this word of God, and it's going to disturb the conscience of an evil heart. Now, the question may be raised, since this man was in church, can a Christian be demon-possessed? Oh, Lord, y'all going to pray with me today? Don't y'all leave me on the road by myself this morning. It all depends on what you mean by the word possess. Uh-huh. Right about it. If you are saying possession means ownership, No. A Christian cannot be demon possessed then. If you're talking about ownership.
Right about it.
Why? Because we have already been bought with a price. And no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. But if you're using the word possess in terms of being invaded, entered into, then yes, a Christian can be invaded by demons. Demons can enter into him. If we are talking in terms of using that word, possess in terms of being invaded. Listen to what the late Merrill Unger, a great Bible scholar who was respected throughout the world, who at one time even taught at Dallas Theological Seminary. Listen to what he says. He said, it must be stressed that demons cannot indwell a Christian in the same sense that the Holy Spirit indwells. God's Spirit enter a believer at salvation permanently, never to leave him. A demon, by contrast, enter as a squander, as an intruder, and is subject to momentary eviction. See, we got to realize we are at war. And in a war, the whole purpose of the enemy is to invade, divide, and conquer. And that's what the devil want to do. He want to invade, divide, and conquer even a child of God. Listen. Why I believe a Christian can be demon possessed? Because everybody that called themselves a Christian is not a Christian. See, how do we really know who is a child of God? John Calvin said, only to God is known those that are truly his. See, I can say that you are a Christian all because of what you said, but I can't read your heart. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all men, desperately wicked. Who can understand it? There are some folks that we're calling a Christian that is not a Christian. See, that one of the biggest surprises is going to be on Judgment Day. A lot of folks we think that should be in heaven are not going to be there. A lot of folks that we thought that would never make it into heaven, they're going to be right there. Don't you remember Judas? If we would look at Judas, all of us would say we know that he's a child of God. All because what? He ate with Jesus, slept with Jesus, walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, went out working for Jesus, casting out demons in Jesus' name. But the Bible tells us that the devil entered into Judas because he wasn't really saved. So that's one reason I believe a Christian can be demon-possessed, because not everybody that calls himself a Christian, not a Christian. Number two, because the Bible don't teach that a Christian can't be demon possessed. I've talked to a lot of people. I've even taught it. But there's not one scripture you can go to bag you up, to find that teaches that a Christian cannot be demon possessed. I done searched. I done read. I done my research. I can't find it. I heard a great theologian this week, a gospel preacher, and he was preaching on this, and he says, I can't understand it. I don't see how a Christian can be demon-possessed. And so he didn't believe it because he said, I don't understand it. Well, that's not a good argument. I don't understand a lot of stuff. I done told you before, I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and produce white milk. But it's a living fact that brown cow eat green grass and the milk come out white. I don't understand that. But there's a fact, and when it comes to the Bible, there's a lot of stuff you're not going to understand. But it's a fact. Oh, matter of fact, I'm going to give you a scripture in just a minute, because I got mine. The early church, another reason, the early church, they believed that Christians could be demon-possessed. The early church, the first couple of hundred years of the creation of the church, every believer that came into the church went through an exorcism. Because they weren't taking a chance on what a person had gotten into and had gotten into them before they came to Christ. And so they took every person through an exorcism. Even today, the Catholic Church still perform exorcism. And they've been performing them for almost 2,000 years. See, we have underestimated the devil. Listen, another reason I believe is because of the nature of the devil. The nature of our enemy, the devil, is what? He's a thief. Jesus says the thief come to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. See, I don't have to worry about a thief stealing my television set, as long as he stay on the outside of my house. Now, I see that thief out there. I see the robber outside my house. He may steal my joy. He may just steal my peace. But I'm still watching my television set. The only way he can steal my television set, he gotta either break in my house, sneak in my house, come in my house, and take my television set. See, I learned that even from Goldilocks and the Three Little Bears. You know Goldilocks.
the three bears had left the house, went out there in the forest, went on a walk, but Goldilock came in the house. And Goldilock, she went there and started eating the food, went there and started sitting in the chair, went there and started sleeping in the beds, until the three bears came back and they kicked Goldilock out. Now, Goldilock didn't possess the house in terms of owning the house, but she possessed the house in terms of having free run in the house. She came in the house, ate the food in the house, set what she wanted to set in the house, laid in the bed that she wanted to lay in the house until she got kicked out the house. Now, my question is, how did she get in the house in the first place? She got in the house because somebody was careless that left the door open. Can this be the problem of many Christians that's acting crazy today and acting kooky today? Could it be that we don't act crazy by being careless and leaving the door open? Another reason I believe it is because the Bible is written to the believer and it's not to the unbeliever. We think that this Bible, when it tells us to get right with the Lord, we're thinking that, you know, it's somebody who ain't coming to church. Yeah. He's telling the church folks. That's right. That's right. He's telling us to get right with the Lord. The Bible makes mention over 120 times the devil. It talks about evil spirit over 208 times. Uh-huh. And most of the time, it either teaches us in warning us about what the devil can do to the believer, or it gives us instructions on how to maneuver around the devil and fight the devil. But it's a war going on, and we can't underestimate the devil. Oh, I don't know if y'all feeling me. I told you I was going to give you a scripture, didn't I? Come on, go with me over here to Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, my Lord. Y'all going with me? I'm going to have to go by myself. Stay with me now. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 26 and 27. It says, be angry and sin not. Y'all with me? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Verse 27, here it is. Neither give place to the devil. That word place in the Greek is a word topos. And topos basically means to occupy territory. Occupancy. Now, put that word occupancy in there. Neither give occupancy to the devil. Hello, somebody. He says, it's all right to be angry, but don't care too far. And let the sun go down on your wrath, giving a place of occupancy to the devil. Oh, I don't know if y'all still feeling me this morning. Can we go over here to our overhead this morning?
Sent down the glory. Many think you were on earth a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word.
If you would like a copy of the message that you've just heard in its entirety, call the church office now at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write to Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in Irving, Texas, 75062. You're also invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at Bible Way Community Baptist Church in Irving. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.